does America stand for? It stands for freedom, liberty. It's what our founding fathers fought for. And we're watching that slip away right before our eyes.
Drug trafficking has gone up over 450-something%.
This isn't a war that anybody even wants to talk about.
Fentanyl is quickly becoming one of the most trafficked drugs, not only in Pinal County, but all across America. Just one of these pills can take a life.
We cannot let this kind of behavior go unchecked, or it's going to just continue to cause problems. It's going to cost more American lives.
This was the remnants of a 50-pound backpack of marijuana. These are people that aren't coming to claim asylum. These are people that are trying to sneak into this country.
They have zero regard for human life, and they're about as evil as they come.
Thank you guys. I was supposed to have the Real American music going on. I was gonna do a little Hulk Hogan. For all of you guys that are too young, you probably don't remember Hulk Hogan, but one of the original wrestlers. How great was Wayne Ivey? Great, he's a great leader. You guys have had a stacked card this time, and it's an honor to be here at Street Cop Training. It's an honor to be with you guys, the warriors that are out there doing it every day. This isn't an easy job anymore. I get the question, I'm sure that Wayne gets it, and all the other leaders, and you guys probably get it too. People say, is it hard being a cop in this day and age? Is it hard being in law enforcement? Is it hard being a sheriff? And I tell people, you know what? 98% of the people that we deal with are good, decent people. Some of those people make mistakes, and some of those people we have to hold accountable. 1% deserve to be in jail, and the other percent deserve to never see the light of day again. And half of that percent need to get out of politics. All right, it's not bad. That was a reaction. Look, I'm no politician. You're going to find that out today. I am a patriot who loves God, family, and freedom. That's what I love. That's what I fight for every day. So I think we would all agree that we've got a storm going on in this country. We've got a lot of storms, actually. We've got a cultural storm. We've got people that are all over the place trying to divide us every day, trying to find ways that they can divide us as a people. There's a professor one day that wanted to show his class how easy it was to divide people. So the professor goes and he says, listen, I'm going to teach you about the Salem witch trials. So he gets all his students in the room and he says, hey, listen, I'm going to have each one of you stand up and I'm going to go along and I'm going to tell each one of you whether you're a witch or not. And at the end, you're going to form groups. If any of you end up with a witch in your group, you fail the assignment. So he goes along and he's like whispering along. And then he says, okay, go, form your groups. Everybody starts to form their little groups. There's a few bigger groups. They're grilling each other, trying to figure out who's a witch, who's not. And at the end, they have a couple bigger groups, mostly small, divided groups. And so the professor says, are you guys ready? Yes. Okay, let me have all the witches stand up. Nobody stood up. And the student said, you did it wrong, sir. And he said, did I do it wrong? Were there really any witches in Salem, or were they just told they were witches? That's where our society is right now. Culturally, we are having a storm. Politically, there's a storm. It don't matter which politics. We got so many people that are banding both parties. You got people that on the right that are so far apart from the left. And I think all of them would tell you if they had the opportunity to tell you they're not happy where we are politically. So we've got this political storm. When in reality, you need liberals for ideas. You need conservatives for those strong values the way you've always done it. And those two come together to form the country we have. But it's broken. There's a storm going on. There's a storm on the rule of law. The rule of law becomes one of the most important things in this country. There are other countries with constitutions. There are other countries that have democracies, albeit we are a republic. But what they don't have is they do not have the strength of the rule of law. That is one of the most important things to this country. The preamble to the Constitution says, we the people of the United States In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. It was the first charge of the Constitution. Think about that. Think about how important of a role you play every day in the maintaining freedom and furthering freedom in this republic. But there's a storm in this country on the rule of law. There's also a storm amongst our own selves. The amount of grief that we deal with, the calls that we go deal with, that in and of itself is its own storm. But I will tell you, the one thing about storms, they're not all bad. I'm going to tell you a few stories of that in a second. There's a poem by Rudyard Kipling called If. If you haven't read it, it's a great poem. But in there, one of the parts he says, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. And it's true. Triumph and disaster are imposters. You take a fighter. A fighter could win. He's the champ. He gets soft. He stops practicing and he starts working out as hard as he should. You take the guy who loses all the time, he works even harder. He becomes better, and eventually he ends up on top. Winning isn't always great. Losing isn't always great. They're both imposters. And understanding that and understanding the storms is really where we benefit in life. Now, Thomas Paine, when America was built, they were dealing with a lot of the same crises, a lot of the same storms. Thomas Paine knew that most people didn't want to fight the English. They didn't want to go to battle with the English. That was scary. So most of them just kind of took a back seat. So Thomas Paine knew how important it would be to supercharge these folks. And so he wrote what was called the American Crisis, a series of pamphlets throughout the years. And in one of those, he put, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he who stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. The storms that we deal with every day look bad sometimes, but most of the time they bring out the good. I'm going to tell you a storm. How many of you know about the story of the crossing of the Delaware? I love the Founding Father stuff, so you're going to hear me tell a few Founding Father stories. The Americans were losing. They were just getting their butts handed to them by the English. They were losing. Everybody was tired. They were hungry. A lot of the soldiers were going back home to the farms because they were ordinary people. This country was built by ordinary people. People like us. People trying to do great things. So these soldiers, they were just losing their faith. George Washington understood this. He understood how important that battle would be for the soul of America, whether they would be successful or not. So George Washington personally came down and oversaw the crossing of the Delaware and going towards Trenton. George Washington shows up. They get this plan in place. They're going to take the army in threes, three different parts of the army. They're going to cross over. They got the plan all together. And as soon as they start to cross the Delaware, the weather starts getting bad. Now, we don't deal with weather like this in Arizona, so I have to take their word for it. But the weather starts getting bad. It starts raining a little bit. And slowly it starts to sleet. And then it starts to snow. And they're struggling crossing over. And in the end, they end up being 3 hours behind. They wanted to be across by midnight. They ended up being across at 3 a.m. Now, the Hessian soldiers knew they were coming. The Hessian soldiers were Germans hired by the English. They knew they were coming, but they thought, there's no way anybody's going to cross in this weather. Now, you can only imagine, any supervisor in here can only imagine just how, or parent can imagine how much those people must have been complaining as they were crossing the Delaware, saying, guys, I think God's trying to tell us something. I think God's trying to tell us we don't need to cross this river today. Or maybe he's mad at us. I don't know, but maybe we should turn around. If it wasn't for the strength of George Washington and the other leaders who continue to push forward, we may not be America today. They pushed past. They were 3 hours behind. By this time, it's a full-on blizzard. These men, ordinary men, were walking in the snow, many of them with no shoes, leaving bloody footprints in the snow as they walked 9 miles to Trenton. Because of that storm, the Hessian soldiers didn't see them until they were 200 yards from the fort. The Americans didn't lose a single life that night. They did later when they died of cold and some fell into the water on the way back. But they didn't lose a single life that night. The storm that many could say was God being angry at them or telling them not to go was exactly what they needed to be successful. It was the cover they needed to get within 200 yards of that fort to be able to overtake it. Had they not had the storm, they would most certainly have failed taking Trenton, and America wouldn't be what it is today. If it wasn't for those ordinary men led by strong, courageous leaders, we wouldn't have the country we're in today. I'm going to tell you a story of another great veteran. His name is Forrest Gump. He's a decorated veteran. So Forrest Gump, if you don't know, served in Vietnam. He's out there. He meets this guy, Bubba. They talk about how they're going to create this shrimping company. And Forrest, man of his word, because Bubba ends up dying, and he ends up coming back and buying his boat and doing this all on his own. And so he starts doing it. He knows, doesn't know what he's doing. He goes out, starts fishing. He's not catching anything. He's coming back, catching trash off the bottom of the water. Eventually, Lieutenant Dan comes out, and Lieutenant Dan and him have no more success. They just keep failing. And one day, they're out on the water, and they see just a horrible storm, hurricane-type storm coming in. Now, most of the ships, almost all of the ships, turned around, went into the port, safe harbor. They wanted to be safe. Anchor their boats, and Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan stay out in there. They go out right into the heart of the storm. They battle it all night. They're tossed to and fro, busting up the ship, doing all of that. By the end of the morning, they were the only ship standing, and when they came back into port, every ship that had gone to port for safe harbor was destroyed. You can't always run from the storms. When you think you're in safe harbor, it doesn't mean you are. Sometimes weathering the storm is exactly what you have to do. To find out who you are, what you're made of, what you're capable of, that's what it takes. You, as the rest of the story goes, they start catching all the shrimp now because they're the only boat on the sea or on the water, and hence Bubba Gump Shrimp. There's another story of an ordinary person. During the Revolutionary War, Colonel Ludington was he took his guys back. They'd been struggling. He goes back and he says, hey, go home for 6 months, farm your farms. We'll come back at it later. They get home. Everybody leaves. That night, they get a rider that comes in telling them that the British were coming. Colonel Ludington had no way of passing that message on because the rider that brought the message collapsed in exhaustion. So the only person there was his 16-year-old daughter, Sybil Ludington. Sybil says, Dad, I'll do it. I'll ride. I'll tell everybody. Like any father, we'd be like, no, that's not happening. The countryside was full of either British or British sympathizers. But they had no other choice, so he gets his 16-year-old daughter to ride the horse all night. She ended up riding 40 miles that night, telling all the different soldiers across the countryside that the British were coming. Had it not been for her, which, by the way, was twice as far as Paul Revere rode when he rode. An ordinary person did a great thing. All the things that you see in this world, the things that drive us, that encourage us, the stories of greatness, are almost always done by ordinary men. Are by chance those two guys that from Nashville here today, the two warriors? I don't want to say they're ordinary men, but you guys had a tragic thing here. And you had two heroes, or multiple heroes, that charged into the school and took care of the business and ultimately saved many more lives. Those are the stories of courage and determination and stories of ordinary people going in and doing great things. I guarantee you, when they left for work that day, they had no idea what was going to happen. But they did it. They got on, they were ready, they did their job, and they did it well. So kudos to them. Not that we want to clap about what the situation is, but clap for those officers for doing a hell of a job. Now, when you're dealing with these storms, sometimes it can get a little scary. How many of you got storms in your own life? Everybody. You may not be raising your hand, but we all got storms. relationship issues, children, finances. Finances is hard now. It's kicking all of us in the teeth. All of these things are piling on us. And then we go out and do a job that is sometimes very hard to do. Do you know that the average police officer, I saw a statistic the other day, we experience 700 traumatic incidents in our life. The average civilian experiences 2. So think about the impact that has on our lives and our ability to keep pushing forward. We still have the same issues that most of those other families have, yet we have to go out and deal with everybody else's issues. It's because we're ordinary people willing to do great things. You and the men and the women, you have no idea how much you keep the water back in the dam. We see these cities where they're slowly moving away from the rule of law, and look what's happening. They're falling to pieces. Crime is off the charts. Why? Because they've taken away that power from all of you to be able to do that job. Bad leadership. But amongst all these storms, you still need somebody to hold the helm. Publius Syrus says, anybody can hold the helm when the seas are calm. I will tell you, the seas are anything but calm. In some places, the seas are downright angry. I will tell you, any leader in here, now more than ever, we need you and we need leaders that'll hold the helm of the ship. You've got to be able to look after your crew. You've got to make sure that your crew's needs are met. And you need to make sure that that ship stays in the right direction. The seas eventually will calm again. These are the ebbs and flows of society. But until they do, we need strong men and women to hold the helm. And that's you. That's you every day. And that's you. Many of you will end up being captains, lieutenants, chiefs, hopefully sheriffs. You will do great things. But it starts by learning how to hold the helm today. We need those people. 2 Timothy 1:7. I got some advice for you guys today. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love all three of those things. They're very different. Power. We got to take back our power, not just as Americans, but as our profession. We need to take back our power. Leaders in here, take back your power. This country's power, this country's secret weapon is law enforcement. We are the strength of this country, our ability to maintain the rule of law. Do you guys know why zebras have stripes? All right, typical cops, you don't raise your hand for anything. I'm going to tell you why zebras have stripes. So this guy wants to understand why zebras have stripes. Some say it's camouflage from their surrounding. It's not camouflage. A lion is tan, could be 3 feet in front of you, you won't see him. A zebra could be way at the back, a mile away, you'll still see him. So he goes out, he's watching this herd of zebra, he's watching out there, he looks down to make a note, boom, he can't find that zebra mixed in with the other ones. So he's like, I got an idea, I'm going to take my Jeep out tomorrow, I'm going to take the paint, I'm going to go out and paint the butts of a few of these zebras. So the next day he does, goes out, takes his Jeep, paints an X on the few of the zebras, comes back, thinks he's pretty slick. Well, he gets up the next morning to go watch those zebras, and guess what? Predators ate those zebras. What did he learn? He learned that the predators cannot hunt the herd. The predators have to divide. They have to identify one of you to be able to hunt you. He also learned that the zebra stripes were not camouflaged from each other, from their surroundings. They were camouflaged for each other. It's the we the people principle that our founding fathers understood. That we need to understand in law enforcement that our strength comes from standing together, our zebra stripes. That is our strength. And make no mistake, we're not being hunted by lions. We're being hunted by jackals and hyenas. We're not being hunted by lions. Now, you still need people like me that'll paint a big red X on my butt and walk out there and stand amidst this and take the arrows. I'll tell you, there is nothing fun about politics at all. There's nothing fun about knowing they're going to spend millions of dollars trying to destroy your life for making a decision to try to do something more for your community. But somebody has to do it. Somebody has to run in that burning building. And by nature, it is not our nature to stand on the corner and wait for somebody else to do it. Although I think all of us know a few cops like that. But it is not our nature to go in and do that. We run into the burning building, just like those guys did here. So we've got to take back the power, which is our zebra stripes, our we the people, our ability to stand together as a profession. Number two, the love. This is a hard one. It's getting harder and harder to love people every day. My wife was a flight attendant. I was a cop. We'd come home and we'd tell stories about how much people would drive us nuts. We finally just stopped talking about work. We all deal with this people every day, politically, socially. There are people that we just are having a tough time loving. Now, normally when I speak, I'll have a coat on and I'll have my, I got a little heart on it, and I'll tell you about that heart a little bit later. But it reminds me of something. It reminds me of it's okay to have a heart in this profession. I go to these academy graduations, and I watch all the new recruits, and they sit there stone-faced. And in reality, you take that stone face to a call for service, and you're not going to get the type of reaction that you probably want. Our ability to control a scene is our ability to use all of our emotions. I'm not saying you need to be sympathetic. I believe in empathy, understanding what somebody's going through, but not feeling what they're going through, because I think that's dangerous. You've got to be able to get in and have your heart still on your sleeve. This job tries to cut our heart out and put it on the dresser at home, and most of the times we don't even have it at home. I'm gonna tell you right now, if you want a successful career and family, you better learn how to wear your heart on your chest. Because that is one of the things that we have to have in this profession. If we're gonna fix this country, it starts with love. You don't dispel darkness with more darkness. What do you dispel it with? Light. That's how you dispel darkness, with more light. This is hard for us because we deal in darkness. That's what we do almost every day. We more than anybody need to learn how to bring the love back to the darkness. So you got to take back your power. You got to have the love. The next thing is, you got to be of a sound mind. How many of us feel frustrated every day? You're frustrated with what's going on in this country. You're frustrated with what you see on the news. You're frustrated with your supervisors, your agency. You don't like it. You have to be of a sound mind. Now, normally when I go around and ask people if you know what a flashbang is. And most people, law enforcement always knows, but the average citizen doesn't necessarily know. So I don't have to explain that tonight. But let's say you take that flashbang. What it's designed to do is when you throw it in there, boom! It's a loud noise, take away your hearing. It's a bright light, take away your vision. And percussion to discombobulate you. We have been flashbanged. And if we don't get our wits about us quick, we're gonna lose our mind and they're going to take us over. This goes to our profession. It goes to our country. It goes to our own personal lives. You all have experiences that are like flashbangs. You don't see it coming. 1 second later, bam, you don't know what's going on. You just got flashbang. You've got to be able to get your wits about you. Get your mind right again to be able to deal with the situations that we have in front of us. There's a book out called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Really good book. It's short. It's like 60 pages. As soon as you read American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World, An American Sheriff, Rules to Live By, which you can get on Amazon, just saying, or americansheriff.store. As soon as you read those, read As a Man Thinketh. It's 60 pages, so I know you guys can read it. It is a great book for mindset and being in the right state of mind as you go out and do your job every day. And there's a part of it, which is the last poor paragraph of the book is the last paragraph of my first book. It says, keep your hand firmly upon the helm of thought. In the bark of your soul reclines the commanding master. He does but sleep. Wake him. Self-control is strength. Right thought is mastery. Calmness is power. Say unto your heart, peace be still. We all have a commanding master inside of us. You got to wake him up. And you got to get him to the helm of the ship to navigate these difficult waters. That is the only way you're going to get through it. The other thing you'll need is an anchor. You can get through the storms, but sometimes you have to drop that anchor onto the bottom of the sea. For everybody, it's a little bit different. For me, my anchor is my family and my faith. I am very open about the fact that I'm a Christian man, and I don't hide it. It is my anchor. It's what keeps me from drifting off to sea when the storms come. So you all must have an anchor, and you all must be at the helm of the ship if you're going to get through these waters. There is a lot going on in this country, in this profession, a lot of it. We've got a lot to deal with on a daily basis. And our ability to control it is dictating what happens in our communities. If you haven't realized, where law enforcement has got broken down, those communities have broken down. And a lot of it is guys just don't want to go out and do their job anymore. Why? Because law enforcement doesn't stand behind them. Our own government is undermining the rule of law. I deal with the border issue every day. I just had a pursuit last night, which, by the way, in the last 2 years, I've had a 377% increase in human smuggling into my county. I have had a 477% increase in pursuits involving human smuggling and trafficking and drug trafficking. 461%. We almost have pursuits every day. We had a pursuit last night, with three vehicles that were traveling. Now what they're doing is, we used to catch them on the I-10. They're circumventing it. Now they're running up some of our back roads and coming down into the valley from the east. And what they're doing is, they'll run in tandem sometime. Well, last night we had three vehicles running together. We got into a short pursuit with them. They ended up stopping. 40 people bailed out of three cars. 40 people. We caught three. You guys know, tactically, we can't just chase everybody. We got three cars we have to secure. So we caught three of the 40 people that went off into the communities. That's one of the things we deal with every day. We've had a 610% increase in fentanyl pills coming into our community. And I'm here to tell you, I've been talking about fentanyl for 3 to 4 years now, telling people, watch out, that's coming to your community. And now it's flooded America. In my county alone, we got 1.4 million pills of fentanyl last year alone. Here's the issue now. It's not just fentanyl. We've had, like I said, a 610% increase in fentanyl. Fentanyl has become the leading cause of death amongst Americans ages 18 to 45. That should be alarming. That should motivate it, right? In Arizona in 2021, we had 44 children die from fentanyl. 7 were under the age of 1. How is fentanyl not the main thing we talk about in this country? It is the storm that we are all facing. That and the enslaving of human beings every day by the cartels. Extorting the men, raping the women, using the children as pawns, raping the children. This is what we are allowing as Americans because of politics or because of what we think is humane. We are watching one of the most inhumane things happen. And it is happening on our watch. And we fight every day in my county to stop it. We'll pursue you till the wheels fall off. We believe in enforcing the rule of law, which is why they do everything they can to try to circumvent my county, because they know we're going to come after them. But that problem is a problem for all of us. I was going to tell you one last thing about the border stuff. We have had, you're going to start seeing something called xylazine. Xylazine is a non-opioid. So naloxone and Narcan will not work with it. Xylazine is being mixed in, and we actually recovered in a load that we had the other day. We had cocaine, meth, fentanyl pills, and this gray stuff that my deputy almost had to go to the hospital over called gray death. And it is a mixture of heroin, fentanyl, and carfentanil. So the products are only going to get more and more dangerous for not just for the community, but for us. And this is a storm like we have never seen before. We've never seen the drugs in this country the way it is. And everybody says, wow, it's because it's the demand. It's not about the demand. It is that part. That's part of it. But what we're doing, if you try to address the demand, that's like mopping the bathroom floor without turning off the tub water. You will never mop up the bathroom floor. The only way to do it is to stop the flow of water, then we can appropriately address what we are seeing in our community. I don't want to dwell on that because I believe, like Napoleon Bonaparte says, that leaders are dealers in hope. So hopefully today you leave here with a little bit more hope than and you hopefully go back reinvigorated to do this job and do it well, because your community, this country, relies on you to go back and do your job and do it well. I hope that more and more leaders will stand up and stand in front and behind their guys, taking those arrows and those shots for their people, encouraging them. Our agency, we are at full staff. Why? Not in the jail. The jail's harder. But on the road, we are at full staff. Why? Because we have created an environment where people can still come and be a cop. We believe in that. We believe in the rule of law. We believe and understand how important it is to America and how this republic will thrive. So I got three pieces of advice, three things that you can do that will help you in your career, will help you navigate these storms that we deal with on a daily basis, personally, socially, politically, whatever it is. I got three pieces of advice. Number one, be authentic. Be who you are. Every one of us have different fingerprints, different DNA, different irises. We are completely different from anybody else in this world. If that doesn't tell you how special you are or how special your purpose is here on this earth, then I don't know what to tell you. There's not a single person in here that is really ordinary. You are a one-of-a-kind person that nothing else in this world exists like you. So you've got to figure out what it is, what is your authenticity that you bring? I have a youth redirection program where I take kids, instead of charging them, I have the deputies send them to me. It's a youth redirection. The county attorney's on board, so they don't get charged. They come and do 4 class hours. We do goal setting and planning, digital media, social media, sexting, the dangers of that. We talk about drugs and alcohol, and we talk about career night. And those kids come out, and they come to the class, and we put them through 8 hours of community service, which is horse therapy. So they shovel some crap, get to deal with some horses. We have had well over 200 kids come through that program, with about 5 that have reoffended. But the three things that we tell them are the three things I'm telling you today, is to be authentic, and I'll tell you the other two things in a second. And we give them a challenge coin when they graduate, and it has all three things on it. But one of the things I tell them is, you aren't special. There's a reason why you need to understand if you're not special. When you think you're special and life starts kicking you in the face over and over again, which it will do mercilessly sometimes, then you think there's a problem with you. When in reality, it is life trying to drag your authenticity out of you, because we are creatures of comfort. We don't want life to bring the best out of us most of the time. We don't want to go through that pain. But life drags it out of you. When you understand that you're not special and that you are unique, you will understand why life does what it does to you, why we deal with the storms that we deal with. So you got to be authentic. In this profession, it's important that you be authentic. I tell my leaders all the time, I don't want you to do it the way he does it or the way I do it. I want you to do it the way you do it. Keep it in mind, the mission and the values of the agency. That's what I want you to pay attention to. And then after that, I want you to lead the way you should lead, because you are authentic. You are unique. So first is, be authentic. Second, don't be afraid to do the uncomfortable work. This is a hard one nowadays. This generation doesn't like work, and a lot of people don't like to work. You cannot be afraid to do the uncomfortable work. There's a story of General Mad Anthony Wayne. If you've never heard of him, he was one of the generals for George Washington. He got a cool name, so he was probably pretty cool. General Mad Anthony Wayne, General Washington comes to him and says, hey, I want you to take back Stony Point. And he says, you think you can do it? You don't have a lot of guys. And he says, sir, you issue the order and I'll storm hell. So they come up with a plan, very small, tight unit, because loose lips sink ships. And not everybody was on board, even though they were fighting for the Americans. Some of them were turncoats. So they put this plan together. That night they decide they're going to attack at night in the cloak of darkness. They put a feather in their hat to signify who they were. There was no other way. They didn't even put balls in their guns. Why not? Because if you trip and fall and you accidentally fire your gun off, you'll alert them that you were coming. So there was no balls in their guns. They start the attack. Eventually, the balls start to fly. General Matt Anthony Wayne actually gets hit in the head. Now, you can imagine, they probably were like, they're seeing their leader go down. Hey, let's go. Let's turn back. We can't do this. General Matt Anthony Wayne pushed forward. At 2 a.m. in the morning, they conquered that fort. General Matt Anthony Wayne wrote a letter to General George Washington. That letter Glenn Beck has in his little museum he has in Texas. And the letter says this: General Washington, the fort and garrison with Colonel Johnston are ours. Our officers and our men behaved like men who are determined to be free. You need to ask yourself, are you going to behave like a man or a woman determined to be free? That's the point we're at. Will you behave like a man and a woman determined to be free? Like those ordinary men who fought so hard to give us the freedoms that we have and enjoy every day. That was uncomfortable work for General Matt Anthony Wayne. That was uncomfortable work for all those soldiers who followed him into battle. You do uncomfortable work every day. But you cannot be afraid to do the uncomfortable work. I love the show Gold Rush, and I love Deadliest Catch. You watch those shows, and Gold Rush, they'll fill this room full of dirt, and out of that, they might get a couple handfuls of gold. You might say to yourself, why would you do all that work? Why? Because the value of the gold is worth everything. It's worth all that work. What is easy in life will make your life hard, and what is hard in life will make your life easy. If you can learn to embrace that hard work and not be afraid to do the uncomfortable work, you will have a successful career. You will have a successful marriage. You will be a successful father. All of those things come through uncomfortable work. So be authentic. Don't be afraid to do the uncomfortable work. And the last thing is, probably the most important thing, is surrender the outcome. You have to surrender the outcome. I will tell you, the only thing you can control in this life, and look, majority of the people in this life who are depressed or feel anxiety or who are unhappy is because you are trying to control an outcome that you have no control over. The only thing you can control is your attitude and your work output. Everything else is outside of your control. There's a story about an old Chinese farmer. So this Chinese farmer, He's got this horse, and he uses this horse every day to plow his field. And one day the storm comes in, knocks his fence down, and the horse escapes. Gets up in the morning, no horse. So all the neighbors come over, and the neighbors are like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. You have the worst luck. What did you do? You're being punished. This is terrible. You can't recover from this. And the farmer says, maybe, we shall see. Well, that day, he and his son fix the fence. Even though they don't have a horse anymore, they still put in that work. They go to bed that night. They wake up in the morning. That horse came back with 10 other horses. Now he's got 11 horses. So they put him in the corral, and now the neighbors come over, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so blessed. This is amazing. Now you had one horse. You had no horses. Now you have 11 horses. What will you do? You're so blessed. And he says, maybe, we shall see. The next day, he sends his son out to break one of those horses. Son goes out, riding the horse, gets bucked off, breaks his leg. Now all the neighbors come over, and they're like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? How will you break all these horses? How will you do all your farm work? Your only son has a broken leg. What will you do? This is terrible. And he says, maybe, we shall see. The next day, the Chinese army comes in and takes all able-bodied young men off to war, leaving behind his son. The moral to the story is, much like what I already talked about, triumph and disaster are both imposters. It's life. Those are life's experiences. Learning how to deal with those and surrender the outcome is truly where you will find peace and happiness in your career, in your life, in your home life. You have to surrender the outcome. On the other reason I wear one of those hearts is on that heart pin, somebody gave it to me, and it has my son Cooper's name, my granddaughter Elaine, and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law, Caroline. On December 16th, the sheriff from the neighboring county, along with my two chiefs and a couple guys from Gilbert PD, showed up to my house, knocked on my door. I opened the door. I thought first I was getting arrested. Then I found out and I looked at their faces and I realized that my chief says to me, "Hey, Cooper and Elaine are dead." My son, my granddaughter, and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law were all three killed like that in a traffic accident. My daughter-in-law actually lived for about a week. But they all three were taken from us in a flash, a flashbang going off in your face. And you have to take a step back and figure out, what am I going to do about this? I had to surrender the outcome. Even as a sheriff, even as a person who wears a gun every day, who feels big and strong and you can go out and conquer the world and you're not afraid of anything, I could not stop that. I could not stop it. I had to surrender the outcome. And in the end, my faith in God and Jesus Christ, the prayers of so many, and the fact that I lead an agency of over 600 employees, I didn't have the luxury of sitting in the corner in a ball curled up and letting life kick me. I had to get my attitude right. I had to get my wits about me again. And I had to get back to work. And I had to get back to doing the things that I do. Life deals us a bad set of cards every now and then. I will tell you, I'm not the same person. There's a saying by Haruki Murakami. It says, "And when once the storm is over, you won't know how you made it through or how you managed to survive. You won't even know whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain. When you walk out of that storm, you won't be the same person that walked in." And that is what the storm is all about. These storms that you experience in life, whether it's in your profession or whether it's in this country or whether it's in your personal lives and your family, those storms have a purpose. And that purpose is to make you the best that you can be. It is designed to make you a different person. My wife and I will tell you, we are different people now. I'm more compassionate, I'm more understanding, I have more purpose, more drive than I thought I could ever have. I was already a person driven, now I'm even more driven. Those are the things that life does to you if you will accept it, if you will surrender the outcome. If you take one thing away from this conference today, let it be that you will surrender the outcome in your life. And you will start to let things happen the way they're supposed to happen and see the good in everything. Don't look at the triumph or the disaster. So I would challenge you today as you leave here, don't forget those three things. Be authentic. Don't be afraid to do the uncomfortable work in your profession. As a sheriff, I know who works hard in my agency and who doesn't. And don't think that that goes unnoticed or unrewarded. I also know that when I surrender the outcome, I'm able to manage the things in my agency and in my life a lot better, especially in these tumultuous times. So as you walk through these storms of life, remember those three things. Be authentic. Don't be afraid to do the uncomfortable work and surrender the outcome. It has truly been an honor to be here today. I want to share with you one more scripture. So if any of you don't want to go to church on Sunday, I shared two scriptures today. You tell your pastor I'm good. I would still recommend going. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's my favorite scripture. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was placed before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I pray for each and every one of you every day when you go out and do this job. I appreciate the work that you do. I appreciate that courageous warrior spirit that you bring to this profession. I appreciate the fact that we are fellow Americans and that we love this country and we fight to keep it safe every day. My hope and prayer today as we leave is that God grant all of us the same faith and strength and courage exhibited by those patriots of old who pledged their lives and their fortunes that we might be free. God bless all of you guys. God bless Street Cop Training for putting this on, and God bless America.